a judge versus a jury. I'm Melissa Patrick. A mother accused of murdering her 4-year-old son will now face a bench trial. A judge, not a jury, will decide her fate. Ruth Miller has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Prosecutors say she threw her son into Atwood Lake last August during what they call a spiritual delusion. They say she then drove a golf cart into the water with her 3 other children. The judge will review police reports and mental health evaluations and deliver a verdict next Tuesday. There is fun for the whole family and equine education coming to Apple Creek next Tuesday. The Ohio State Agricultural Technical Institute Equine Center is hosting a free equine workshop on Tuesday, March 3rd. This student-run event will feature 3 different sessions on a variety of equine topics. Nicole Schaub, an instructor at ATI, says this event was organized by the Equine Facilities and Management class.
Half of the semester they spend planning this event, and the class in the previous years has also put on a very similar event. But each year, the students that are in the class get to choose how they want their event to run. So, for example, in previous years, it was called more of a field day. And when it's a field day, they had like more, maybe smaller sessions. This is a workshop evening. So it's going to be sessions that are maybe a little bit longer and 2 things happening at one time.
She says, in addition to the sessions, there will be tables from various organizations for attendees to visit. The event will include 3 sessions. Session 1, from 5:30 to 6:30, will be on basic training and have a vet Q&A. Session 2, from 6:30 to 7:30, will be a stallion presentation. And session 3, from 7:30 to 8:30, is on bridleless riding. Student organizer Shayla Heisel says they chose these topics to focus on topics that the public may need to be educated on.
We also wanted to give back to the community as well, because we have a lot of like 4-H clubs, riding groups. So the training came in to give the people as a demo how to do basic things that they don't know. So a lot of it's focused on the public learning from us.
Dr. Gabriel Middleton from Orville Veterinary Clinic will be conducting the Q&A session. Emma Petras, another student organizer, shared a bit of what Dr. Middleton's presentation will feature.
We really wanted to give Dr. Gabe kind of liberty to do what he thinks would be best for our community, because a vet has, you know, ample information and opportunity to really share with us. And he kind of picked a couple that he really liked, and then we said, okay, let's do presentation on when to call the vet, equine emergencies, and then he'll be presenting for 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll leave the rest of the hour open for Q&A for the audience to ask questions.
Heisel says the stallion presentation will feature the studs ATI students work with to learn more about breeding. The event is family friendly and there will be a kids' corner. Naomi Kirkland, also a student organizer, says it was important to her to have the kids' activities as someone who came from a large family.
If we're going to make this a community event, it has to be open and ready for people of all ages, especially kids, because like they need a place to go, because sometimes a vet Q&A might not be as interesting to them, so they might want somewhere else to go.
Student organizer Evelyn Kendall shared what activities kids could look forward to.
We have a couple different games set up. We're going to have roping, stick pony racing. So we kind of went back and forth. We asked on our event what people wanted to do most. So those kind of got the highest ratings on our polls that we put out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have coloring pages too.
Petras and Kendall say local businesses have also donated door prizes for the event.
For an example, would be United Fence, Maisel Harness, for trying to stay local and, you know, really help out the community, offer them tables. And
so we got a grooming kit for one of our door prizes from Power Play Farms, and then we're going to have hawk boots from Ann Brown of Equikinetics.
The ATI Equine Workshop is Tuesday, March 3rd at the Equine Facility located at 3339 South Apple Creek Road in Apple Creek. Doors open at 4:30 with the first session at 5:30. There will be free food on a first-come, first-served basis thanks to support from the local Farm Bureau. You can RSVP on the Ohio State ATI Equine Center Facebook page or contact Shoup at shoup.114@osu.edu. The Holmes County Sheriff reported for yesterday 1 accident, 11 incidents, and this arrest. Kayla Ann Stapleton of Kilbuck, who's arrested and charged with community sanctions violation. Ohio lawmakers are considering a bill that would stop employers from asking about an applicant's criminal history before they even look at the resume. According to Cleveland.com, it doesn't mean an employer must hire someone with a felony record. Instead, it means a potential employer cannot reject the application of a person with a felony record without first considering their qualifications. This is a continuation of a state law that's been in effect since 2016. State leaders are considering a request from one Ohio energy company that would allow them to take a bit longer to restore power after an outage. First Energy submitted this request to the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. They say their reliability has gotten worse since 2019, and their request says trees falling on their lines, issues with equipment, and worsening weather are to blame. They're asking to relax 2 major reliability standards that regulate how often customers have outages and how long those outages last. Both the Ohio Consumers Council and the Ohio Environmental Council, or OEC, believe the PUCO's decision could have impacts well beyond First Energy's service area. Experts say you have a greater chance of winning 1 number in the Powerball drawing than Northwest Ohio has of recovering from the recent drought. Despite the recorded snowfall over the last few months, Northwest Ohio has been extremely dry. In fact, the region has been experiencing these drought conditions for 6 months. While snowfall for the season currently sits just above 28 inches, that total remains below average for a typical winter season. The lack of consistent moisture has established a deep drought across the area, particularly in the western counties of the region. After weeks of heavy ice across the Great Lakes, the massive 80-mile crack that once split Lake Erie from Canada to the Cleveland shoreline has almost disappeared. According to the U.S. National Ice Center and National Weather Service, rapid changes in the weather are known to shift these ice cracks in the Great Lakes, especially in the shallow waters of Lake Erie, which tend to freeze and thaw more quickly. When the crack was at its peak, Lake Erie was about 96% covered in ice. That number has now decreased to roughly 76%. Although the massive tear has nearly melted, experts say this winter has been the most significant ice season on the Great Lakes in about 5 years. And finally, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced its 2026 list of nominees, and it mixes pop, rap, metal, R&B, and more. The Hall released the list yesterday. It includes Phil Collins, Mariah Carey, Lauryn Hill, INXS, Iron Maiden, Luther Vandross, Shakira, and the Wu-Tang Clan. It also names Melissa Etheridge, Jeff Buckley, Pink, New Edition, Sade, Billy Idol, and Joy Division, New Order, plus the Black Crowes and Oasis. 10 acts appear for the first time. More than 1,200 voters decide. The final class will be revealed in April. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM.